Christ is speaking in a parable, which he did many times. He had spoken before this in the temple concerning his coming to judgment and what would take place. In this parable, he's teaching the state and the condition of the visible church when he shall come. And in this next parable, he gives us something about the talents that each person has and how that he should use them. And in the end of this chapter, he gives us a clear account of what shall take place in the day of judgment when he shall come to separate the chaff from the wheat. In this parable, he commences, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto 10 virgins that went out with their lamps to meet the bridegroom. The kingdom of heaven in this particular verse represents the visible church here upon earth, where the proclamation of the gospel is sounded in the ears of sinners and saints. Of these virgins, of this word, we find many times in Scripture. It is called sometimes the Virgin of Israel, meaning the people of Israel. Sometimes it means a city and not filled with idolatry, but kept from error. Of these virgins then that the Lord speaks about here are visible members of the visible church upon earth. They have made proclamations and have made professions of religion here below. It is also stated that they had lamps. In Eastern countries, they burned various things in their lamps. They burned oil, they burned pitch, they burned wax, and some poor people, they kept their lamps going all night. Most of the poor did. The lamps in the temple, they only burned to the morning and then they were extinguished. These virgins went forth to meet the bridegroom. This teaches us that there was, under the Jewish people, various times when there were weddings. And this alludes to a Jewish wedding. When in these Eastern countries someone was to get married, usually the bridegroom, he went to the bride's house to fetch his bride and to take her home to himself. And when he went, he took some companions with him. The bride likewise, she had attendants awaiting upon her in her father's house called bridesmaids. And these would go out with the bride to meet the bridegroom. They usually done this at night, and they carried then their lamps with them. Now, Christ speaks that 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. This teaches us that there were 5 that had wisdom. This wisdom we find written of in the Word of God, the wisdom which Christ gives and which God gives is the fear of the Lord. This is the beginning of all true wisdom. This wisdom typifies likewise the work of grace in a sinner's heart. Such sinners only have become wise unto salvation. This wisdom that these wise virgins had likewise shows they had a good state of heart before the Lord. They then were born again creatures. They had life divine in their souls. These foolish virgins, they likewise are called virgins, but we read many times in Scripture that foolishness is accounted to be sin. Sinners are called fools in Scripture, and all foolishness is sin in God's sight. These virgins, they were called foolish, but still virgins, because they made a profession of religion. They were probably much wiser and had more light in Scripture, and their walk and their conversation and their lives were without spot or without blemish. In all probabilities, even these foolish creatures, they shined more than the wise did in this world. They made a profession of religion, but they lacked the true grace of God. They were professors without possessing anything. These creatures, sometimes we see them in the church, they make a great show. They have much zeal, and they have much love, and they are bold. They come out for the name and for the cause of Jesus Christ. And they are so firm in their belief that nothing can shake them. They believe sincerely that they are virgins. And they also are going out to meet the bridegroom. This typifies that they all made a profession of religion. But now we read that the foolish took no oil with them with their lamps, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. This again teaches us that these foolish virgins had no grace in their hearts. They had no inward root. They had no inward life. They had nothing else but an outward profession. This lamp teaches us a profession of religion. They probably shine very brightly amongst those whom they gathered with. They had much light in Scripture. They probably were even ministers who, enlightened by spiritual knowledge, had taught many others the way of salvation. And these foolish creatures, these foolish virgins, they had no God to go to. They had no refuge, no strength within their souls. Their profession was but outwardly. The wise, they had oil in their vessels. This oil signifies the work of grace commenced in a sinner's heart. This oil is the gift of God. It is not to be bought. It is not to be merited, but it is given solely of God by His precious grace. And these virgins then, they went forth to meet the bridegroom. And now we read that these virgins, they were waiting for the bridegroom to come. While the bridegroom tarried, we read, they slumbered and they slept. All these virgins then, they slumbered and they slept. This teaches us that Christ many times tarries in coming to His people. These all were looking forward then to the coming of the bridegroom. And where he tarried, it became later and later, they all slumbered and slept. When a person slumbers, he's not fast asleep. He's sleepy and he's dozing. But when a person sleeps, then he is practically out of this world. He's dead to everything about him. And now this case of these 10 virgins slumbering and slept. This teaches us the state and condition which happens so often even to the wise virgins. Those that are looking for the coming of Christ to judgment. How often it happens that these wise virgins find that the graces that God had given unto them, they seem to become so inactive, that those things where they found so much life and so much joy in, they seem to ebb away. When this takes place, my hearers, then a soul comes into a state of slothfulness and sleepiness. Prayer is restrained, coming up to the house of God, hearing your word, and attending the ordinances is dull, is lifeless. The things of time and sense occupy the mind and the thoughts. Eternity does not press so heavenly at that time. And these creatures, they find themselves busy with all things of this world instead of with the things concerning their immortal soul. They are then in a state of slumber. The wise virgins then, who we would expect would be wide awake, were slumbering. The foolish, they likewise slept with the wise. These foolish virgins who had made a profession of religion, who had shined very brightly with their profession, who had made so much commotion in the church, who had stirred up many, we find them becoming so worldly, so carnal, so indifferent, that the wise and the foolish, they looked alike. There was hardly any resemblance to be seen, any difference to discern between the wise and the foolish. They all slumbered and slept. What a sad state. What a sad condition this was. And my hearers, when we look in the church today, do we not see this condition prevalent? And may we not out of this condition say that surely the bridegroom is soon to come, the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is ready to come to judgment? And now we read, while they slumbered and slept, suddenly there was a cry made, the bridegroom cometh. Arise, go out to meet him. It says it was midnight. This teaches us likewise that it was a state in which they were all so indifferent that hardly any had any light to discern the signs of the times, that they were buried in a deep sleep, both wise and foolish, and that it was dark, very dark. It was midnight. Oh, my hearers, when this takes place with a person that has been given light, has been given communion and fellowship with the Lord, then to come into such a midnight darkness that they cannot see their way anymore, cannot see the signs that they have received, that they are in such a dead sleep. The world and the things of time and sense and of the flesh have the upper hand. There they are. And suddenly, at midnight, there was a great cry in the land of Egypt when the Lord struck the firstborn in that land, and that was at midnight. Oh, what a cry went up from the hearts of those mothers and fathers that lost their firstborn. Oh, this midnight teaches us likewise that it will be when least expected, then the bridegroom will come. When everybody does not think any more that he would come, then suddenly there will be a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh." And when this cry came, my hearers, then we read that these virgins arose and they trimmed their lamps. Oh, I'm thinking when this cry shall come. We read that Paul says that the Lord shall descend with a shout, with the sound of a trumpet. Oh, I can picture, my hearers, what that will be in that great day. There will be many that will cry out in fear and in consternation. There will be many that will cry to the rocks and to the hills to fall upon them for fear of him that sitteth upon the throne. For lo, he cometh. At midnight this cry shall come. Paul teaches us that the Lord will come as a thief in the night, unexpectedly. And oh, what that will be to the world, to the inhabitants thereof. What a cry will go up probably out of your and out of my mouth in that great day, my hearers. And this cry aroused these 10 virgins that were all sleeping. Oh, the wise as well as the foolish immediately arose. And now when the foolish arose, they found that their lamps had gone out. They had no oil with them, and their lamps went out. Oh, this teaches us, my hearers, how many foolish professors there will be in that day when that cry will come. How many have made a profession of religion and have looked down upon the poor, afflicted people of God, have despised them in their misery, in their crying and in their sighing for salvation. These professors have stood so firm, so filled with faith, believing that they would sure enter when the bridegroom would come. And nothing could make them fear. They never had any doubts on the score. They thought surely when Jesus would come, the bridegroom, they would enter in. And now we find these professors that their lamps had gone out. Their profession was but outwardly. They had no inward work of God in their hearts. They had no true faith, no true hope, no true love. They had no grace. Oh, they only had an outward profession. And when it came to this, they found that they had no foundation for eternity. Their lamp of profession went out. Oh, terrible it shall be for any one of my hearers who has made a profession of religion to come to that day and to find that your lamp has went out. Likewise, we read of the five wise virgins. They had oil in their vessels. Their lamps continued to burn. Why? Because they had the oil of grace in their hearts. And this oil, my hearers, will never go out. The fire that God puts on in the heart of any sinner will never go out. In that great day, all my hearers, I'm thinking about these wise virgins. So many times in their life, they have thought when they got to that day that surely they had not enough, that they came too short. But all in that day, they will realize something of the faithfulness of God, of Him who had commenced that good work in their heart. In that day, my hearers, they will find that the graces that the Lord had given unto them were not of themselves, but that He kept them alive. These professors, these five foolish ones, they had kindled it, their fire, their lamp, with their own works, with their believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. They had held themselves up to the last moment, and then they found that their lamp went out. Oh, my hearers, it troubles me to think of how many poor creatures will be found in that great day whose lamp will be put out. They will find it insufficient. They will find it that they deceive themselves. You know, hypocrites, they can carry it so far. They can even die, and still we may think that they went to heaven. But when this happens, my hearers, there will be a separation made. Then he, the bridegroom, when he comes and this cry is made, then they will find that they have nothing to lean upon, nothing to build upon, nothing that he will accept. Oh, my hearers, what did these foolish virgins do? They went to the wise and they said, give us of your oil because our lamps are gone out. What does this teach us? Oh, this teaches us, my hearers, professors of religion who never wanted anything to do with God's people, who despised them, who rejected them. Oh, in that day they will go to them and they will say, oh, give us some of your oil because our lamps are gone out. Oh, how they would wish that they had some of that oil that those poor creatures had. And what do these wise virgins say? Not so. Lest there be not enough for us and for you, but go ye to them that sell and buy for yourselves. They gave them good instruction, my hearers. They were very careful concerning the oil that they had in their own hearts. You know, when God gives us oil, my hearers, we can't give it anybody else. We can't sell it. We can't distribute it. It's a personal gift to us if we have this oil of grace in our hearts. And these wise virgins, they directed these foolish ones to go to the means of grace. Go where we obtained it without any money, without any price. Oh, my hearers, then these foolish virgins seen what was needed, what was necessary, and they lacked it. And now when they went, these foolish virgins, to buy, we find that the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went into the marriage, and the door was shut. All my hearers, This teaches us that there is a preparation in this life to enter into that marriage, that feast that shall take place in glory above. The marriage of the Lamb. And they that were ready went in with him. Take notice, my hearers, they went in with him. This was the one that they had been looking for. They had been praying, Lord Jesus, come hastily. At times they had seen something of his beauty, something of his loveliness. They had desired at times to be with him and to depart and to be forever with him. And now, my hearers, the time came that he came and took them in with himself. What would it be without him? There would be no marriage. There would be no joy. There would be no feast. But now he came and he took them that were ready with him to the marriage. He had promised that he would return to his disciples and that he would take them to be with him where he was, that they might behold his glory. Oh, blessed is he that may be ready and be given to enter with him into that glorious place in heaven above. Oh, my hearers, in an earthly wedding, there's much joy, there's much festivities taking place, and there is also much sin and iniquity that takes place in those weddings. But in this wedding, in this marriage of the Lamb, when the bridegroom comes to take home his bride, oh, there'll never be any more sin. Then we will behold his face and never sin and drink from the river of his pleasures, endless sin. My hearers, we read, and the door was shut. Solemn words, very solemn. That means that only those that were ready went in with him. And all others were excluded. The door was shut. Oh, my hearers, how will it go with you and me? Shall we come to that point and find the door shut? Or have we been given the oil of grace to enter in to be with Jesus forever and ever? The door was shut. Oh, solemn words, my hearers. To be shut out from heaven, to be shut out from the communion of God, from his Son, Jesus Christ, from that glorious abode. Oh, what an awful thing. What a terrible thing it'll be for any one of my hearers to be shut out. I pray that God may never shut you out. I pray that God may give you the oil of his grace in this life, and that when you come to die, and when this solemn day comes, that you may be given to enter into the door. The door was shut. You know, when Noah built the ark, and then people laughed at him, they mocked at him. They do today, too, with the people of God. And when they laughed and mocked with him, my hearers, he continued to build. The time came, God brought all the animals to him, and he and his wife and his children went into the ark, seven of them. And when they had entered into the ark, God shut him in. The door was shut. Can't you picture that, my hearers? In that day when Noah entered into the ark and then the flood came. Oh, can't you picture them poor people on the outside of that ark? Oh, how they rapped on the door. Open, open, let us in. But no, the door was shut. God had shut him in. Oh, how they clambered over the top of this ark and wanted to get in. but it was too late. It was forever, and finally too late for these people. They all drowned. They all were sunk down into eternal perdition. And now we read that these foolish virgins, they came back, and they knocked on the door. Oh, my hearers, how far can it go with a person? He can even get to the door of heaven even with his profession. Oh, be careful, my hearers. Examine yourself in the sight of God and in the light of his precious word, that you may not deceive yourself and come even to the door of heaven, just as these foolish virgins did, and they rapped on the door. They said, Lord, open unto us, open unto us. It's just like these people by the ark. Oh, they wanted the Lord to open the door, but he would not. He spake unto them and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Oh, my hearers, what a terrible thing. When God himself speaks and says, I know you not. Those that had been given to enter in, they were known from all eternity. They were the purchase of Jesus' blood. He had covenanted with his Father for them in eternity. Their names had been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. They had been given in this life to know him. And oh, what a wonderful thing it is to know the Lord. Oh, my hearers, how few of you know the Lord. How few have any knowledge of him. And if he knows you, my hearers, you will know him. He will come to you in this life. He will plant his spirit within you. And you will be given to know him. And you will be given likewise to love him, to follow him, to go through sin, through this world, and through everything that comes up against you, cleaving unto him. You will be known of him. Oh, blessed are you, my hearers, if you are known of him, if he has given you some token thereof, some intimation thereof in your heart, given you some sign to go by, that you may say, then and then, the Lord visited me. Then and then he gave me this word, he gave me that sign, and I may believe that he knows me. Oh, did you ever contemplate in that great day, my hearers, when Christ shall come to judgment, and when he shall view every person that has lived here upon this world, and then he will pick you and you and you and say, they are the purchase of my blood. Come ye, beloved of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from before the foundation of the world. Wouldn't you want to be one? Oh, wouldn't you want to be, my hearers, in that solemn day? You wouldn't want to be a foolish virgin. You wouldn't want to be one that he said unto, I know you not. Oh, my hearers, those, they knew Christ. They had said so, they believed so, and they depended so on what they had said and what they had believed. But the mouth of Christ himself says, Verily, I know you not. Oh, my hearers, we read in another part of Scripture where some said, Have we not prophesied in thy name? And have we not done wonderful things in thy name? And then he will say openly unto them, Verily, I know you not. What an awful thing it is. Not to be known of the Lord, not to be loved of the Lord, not to be in his favor, not to be in his grace. Oh, my hearers, it's an awful thing not to be known of him. Oh, may you seek an interest in this precious Jesus. There is only one ground of salvation, and that is Christ and him crucified. If we have not this ground, my hearers, we will be found wanting in that great day of accounts. You know, these wise virgin said unto the foolish, and not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. There may be some of my hearers that say, oh, I'm afraid when that day comes, there won't be enough. I'm troubled about it, whether it's his work. I'm troubled about it, whether it'll be satisfactory unto him. Oh, have you never had any fears, my hearers, that it would not be true, that it would not be enough? You know, these foolish professors never had any fears like that. They never were troubled or concerned about that. They waited and they carried it even to the door of heaven, and then it was too late. But these wise, they said, lest it be not enough for you and for us. Oh, sometimes it sinks so low, my hearers, that we fear it ain't enough. We fear it'll never stand that great day. We fear that we likewise will be shut out. But there will not be a soul shut out of heaven where this oil of grace has descended, where this work has been commenced by Christ. He most certainly will fulfill it. Oh, my hearers, these five foolish and five wise virgins, they teach us an important lesson. They teach us that there will be a separation made even in the midst of the church, that there will be chaff and wheat. And my hearers, we read likewise that Jesus, he spake again and said, watch therefore and be ready, for ye know not in what hour the Son of Man cometh. Christ said so many times, watch and pray, for ye know not when the Son of Man cometh. My hearers, we most certainly believe that the Lord Jesus is coming to judgment. It is a fundamental article of our most holy faith that we are looking forward to his coming. But this coming of the Lord may be a long ways off yet. But there is one thing that's coming, and that's death, my hearers. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not in what hour he may come to you and take your life away. And then you will have to appear before the Son of Man. Death immediately sets us before the tribunal of God. Oh, my hearers, how many creatures are being cut off suddenly, quickly, unexpectedly? How many die on our highways by accidents? How many in plane crashes? How many by heart attacks? How many by strokes and several hemorrhages? They are cut off in a moment. Oh, you know not when he's going to come to you, my hearers. It may be this very day. It may be this very night. Do you ever think of that? Should not these things then bring us in a watchful state? Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the Son of Man cometh. Oh, what an awful thing. So many creatures are being cut off. Even in our lifetime and every day of our life, we hear and read thereof. And oh, what a wonder, my hearers, that not you and I have yet been cut off. You ever stop to think that? So many dying round about us, so many being cut down so quickly and suddenly, and you and I, under the goodness of God, the long-suffering of God, and we are yet in the land of the living. We yet may hear this gospel being brought to us. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not in what hour the Son of Man cometh. He's coming, my hearers. He's coming to take me and you. For death is certain, but the hour is very uncertain. Oh, prepare ye then to meet your God. It would be an awful thing for any one of my hearers to come to the door of heaven
and to find him saying, "Go away, I know you not." Where will they be placed? Read it, my hearers, in the end of this chapter. They will be cast out into that place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That is where the unprofitable servant will be cast. Oh, may you and I be found wise, watching, waiting, looking for the coming of the Lord. And let us not sleep, as the apostle says, as others do, but let us watch and look and wait that he may find us in this posture. For he has said, "Blessed are those servants who are watching for him to come." That's all for today, my hearers. My time's gone.